You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our own Stephanie Elkins joins the show for a look at two African-American women composers whose compositions are getting a new look a century later. We'll hear their stories and some of their music. Now it's time for our weekly review of state news. We check in with a few different reporters about the stories they've been covering around Wisconsin. First, an estimated 4,000 people traveled to the state capitol on Wednesday for the annual Day Without Immigrants, a yearly event meant to highlight the economic impact of immigrants and issues affecting the Latino and Hispanic communities. Phoebe Petrovic was there. She's Wisconsin Public Radio's Lee Ester News Fellow. Phoebe, thanks a lot for being here.
Good to be here.
Well, this event has become a yearly thing around the country. What were some of the issues that this year's demonstration at the state capitol focused on?
So specifically in Wisconsin, the activists were fighting for two main things. That's allowing undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses and state-issued ID cards, and then also allowing them, if they attended a Wisconsin high school and lived in the state for 3 years, to be qualified for in-state tuition.
And one of the speakers was Christine Newman Ortiz, head of the group Voces de la Frontera. Here's a listen.
Con nuestros sacrificios pasados no han sido en vanos y no serán hoy. Our sacrifices in the past has not been in vain, and they will not be in vain today.
So, Phoebe, can you give us a sense of the range of speakers at that event?
Sure. So we heard from leaders in this fight and activists like Christine Newman Ortiz, but then we also heard from small business owners, high school students who are trying to go to college, a co-owner of a dairy farm who many of his workers are undocumented immigrants, teachers, and then also the Madison's new mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway, and Chief of Police Mike Koval. Both of them said that they support undocumented immigrants having driver's licenses.
In a nutshell, what were some of the arguments you heard from speakers and others about why they support this idea of providing licenses or IDs to people living in Wisconsin and in the country without documentation?
So the main thing is safety. So when you get a driver's license, you have to pass a roads test and a skill test. And then, so if you have to, if everyone can get a driver's license, they have to pass those things. So everyone says that, you know, we have people on the road, so we know, have those requisite skills, and it makes everyone safer.
And is there any political action on this issue in the Capitol?
So this week, the chairs of the Joint Finance Committee said that they are going to repeal all of the non-fiscal parts of Governor Evers' budget proposal, and that includes those things. So it likely will not pass in this budget. It could be introduced as alternative legislation.
Phoebe, thanks a lot for sharing the story with us.
Thank you.
Phoebe Petrovic is WPR's Lee Ester News Fellow. She was with us to talk about this week's demonstration at the Capitol on the annual Day Without Immigrants. Now, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources decided not to reissue a permit for a Georgia frac sand company to fill in 16 acres of wetlands in Monroe County. It's the latest move in the permitting process that's played out over the last 2 years. Chris Hubbock is a reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal covering energy and transportation. Chris, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, tell us about this wetland site and what Meteor Timber was hoping to do with it.
So Meteor wants to build a processing and rail loading facility that would serve a couple of frac sand mines. This is on land that they purchased as part of about 50,000-acre acquisition back in 2014, and they discovered that they had silica sand reserves in Monroe County, but need a place to process it, wash it, and get it onto a rail line. But the site that they settled on would require filling about 16.25 acres of wetlands.
So there's been this long court battle over whether they're allowed to do that and over the DNR's previous approval process. What is this new decision now from the DNR from a different administration?
So so the DNR granted them a permit to fill the wetlands. A couple of groups, the Ho-Chunk Nation, which is based nearby, and the Clean Wisconsin, challenged that permit. This was in 2017. There was a hearing, about a week-long hearing in front of an administrative law judge about a year ago. That administrative law judge determined that the DNR did not have enough information to meet the legal requirements to issue that permit, and so he revoked the permit. Meteor then appealed that to Secretary Dan Meyer, who was head of the DNR under the previous Scott Walker administration. The DNR spent about a year reviewing that, and then this week, Secretary Preston Cole, appointed by Tony Evers, closed the close the review without taking any action. So he didn't affirm or overturn the judge's decision. He just let it stand.
So the judge's decision stands, at least for now. No permit, but as I understand it, the story's still ongoing in the courts, right?
Right. Meteor also, around the same time that they appealed to DNR, they also appealed it in the courts. A Monroe County judge, they'll kind of put that case on hold until the DNR made some decision. So that case is sitting out there, and presumably if Meteor decides they still want to pursue this, they'll ask the judge to reopen that case.
And what has Meteor's case been for why they feel they should be able to fill in the wetlands?
They say they've met all the requirements of the law. In fact, they say they've gone above and beyond, that they offered to restore some other wetlands nearby and preserve, I think, about 640 acres of land that they own elsewhere, which is more than the typical compensation that was required by the law, quite a bit more.
We'll keep watching this as it goes through the courts. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Chris Hubbock covers energy and transportation at the Wisconsin State Journal. He talked to us about the DNR's decision not to reissue a permit to fill in wetlands as part of a frac sand mining project in Monroe County. Finally, a new report from a national industry group shows that Wisconsin's forestry business leads the Midwest. Rob Mentzer is WPR's Rural Communities reporter, and he recently wrote about this. Rob, welcome back.
Why, thank you.
Now, how is Wisconsin's forestry business doing compared to nationwide?
So the Wisconsin's forestry industry has grown in basically every metric that this report studied, timberland acres and value of the wood and number of jobs. They're actually Wisconsin leads the Midwest. Actually, the South has a whole lot of forestry jobs, a big industry in the South, and Wisconsin is not the leading state in the nation, but definitely leads the Midwest by quite a bit in most of these metrics.
Now, a story we've followed in the state over the years, and you've been based in the Wausau area, is a big story there, the decline of the paper industry. And you might think this would be a problem for the forestry business. I think it was in the past. What is balancing that out?
Yeah, I found this to be a little bit of a twist to this. So the paper mill closures have in fact meant some decline in the amount of pulp wood that comes out of Wisconsin forests. That's my sources confirm. But what's offset it is that Wisconsin is getting more of the very high quality wood that goes into like hardwood flooring or furniture or other more like premium products. And that is because as some of the state's forests are getting older, loggers are able to harvest more of this saw timber, and that is much more valuable wood, and so that has more than offset the small decline in pulpwood.
And based on what you heard from people in the industry, it sounds like people doing this forestry business, they're looking in the long term now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this report is from the National Alliance of Forest Owners. That's sort of a lobbying group or an advocacy group. But the point that they make is that if forestry works as a business, then those landowners want to preserve it as forest, as opposed to growing crops or selling it for vacation homes or whatever. And in order to do that, they're making investments that are, you're talking about 20, 30 years or more.
And finally, as we wrap up, Rob, just briefly talk about the number of jobs, if you have that in front of you, more than I actually would have thought.
Yeah, the jobs in Wisconsin. So this is direct and indirect jobs because there are sort of support jobs and it supports other things. But they said almost 175,000 jobs in the state of Wisconsin supported by the logging industry, a big industry.
Rob, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Hey, thanks.
That's Rob Mentzer, WPR's Rural Communities reporter. He talked with us about the state's forest industries and wrapped up our weekly look at news stories from around Wisconsin.